At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. And I sit here a week later, a week after I basically declared this team cooked, and a frustrating couple of weeks of baseball pretty much had me, I think, out on this team. And I was debating on saying that, like, the season's done. Like, okay, if they make the playoffs, great. If not, I don't expect them to do anything. Then that's when this team and this roller coaster of a season always seems to turn. Whenever the pressure is on them, whenever it's, you know, we actually got to try now, for lack of a better, you know, phrase there, they rattle off six straight, starting in Iowa with a magical night, and we're back to, you know, thinking that this is a real team in a playoff race again. They're within five games, was down to 4.5 yesterday, of the Atlanta Braves, and it feels like the season's back on again. And so, if you watch this team every day like I do, I think you can kind of relate to the fact that it feels like there have been three or four seasons within one season. Like, the Rob Thomson firing feels like it happened 3 years ago at this rate. And just the amount of up and down that has gone on with not just this baseball team in particular, because it has been a weird Phillies year, no doubt about it. But even around baseball, like, the Braves start out the year super hot. They go through a lull, finally, like, get the lead back up to 10 games when the Phillies cool off around the All-Star break. And now, before today, like, Thursday, they couldn't win a game. And it feels like they're leaking oil. Their pitching staff is struggling. They are struggling to keep guys healthy. And it's a division race again, because you've got seven against these guys in September, four at Citizens Bank Park early in the month, at a couple, and then a week or so later, they go down to Truist for three games. So you've got seven games against the Braves. So if this is five games or less heading into those series, like, we have a division race on our hands. And that's when you start talking, you know, potential first-round bye even with the Dodgers, like, who had the best roster ever assembled in terms of talent and money on the payroll and everything like that. And the offseason they had of getting the premier hitter in baseball in Kyle Tucker, the guy can't hit anymore. The Dodgers have been struggling mightily since the start of July. And if you look at the standings, like, it's not ridiculous to think that if the Phillies keep playing at the pace that they're at, they could not only compete for the division, but compete for the two seed. So just a wacky year around baseball. And that doesn't even include the American League, who is going to have a playoff team that gets in under 500 probably. And they're going to end up having a 3-6 series of the AL West winner, which probably will be like Houston. And then that wild card team, one of those teams is getting to the ALCS. So it's going to be a wacky postseason. Just been a wacky season overall. And hey, honestly, I'm here for it. It makes for good drama. And I've really appreciated, you know, not thinking that they're cooked over the past week or so, because it's as excruciating as that, you know, the couple weeks out of the All-Star break were. This has been a really fun week. And it started in Iowa, which was awesome, of course. And I think that it's one of those events that kind of reminds you why you love baseball, and coming, you know, to see the Hall of Famers and all the pomp and circumstance that comes with that event. I thought it was really cool. And obviously, the Phillies offense and Kyle Schwarber specifically coming alive there was fun. And never a doubt that Kyle Schwarber would come through in that type of event. But to get into the offense here, you got to start with Bryce Harper, just speaking of the big bats in the middle of the lineup, because what Bryce has done this year, and specifically recently, was exactly what we talked about going into the season. And that was, if he is not the hitter that he once was, and Dave Dombrowski made the comments in the offseason, we know about the comments, like, being a guy who gets on base an extremely high 380 or more clip is what you're going to have to turn into. And I think he always had the ability to do that, but it was more about not trusting the guy behind you. And now that he has a rise, now he trusts him a little bit more, he's taking a ton of pitches. Now, I don't know if that has to do with his approach or him having trust in a rise behind him, or if it has to do with Don Mattingly, according to all these reports this week, and the players have been asked about it, and they've all confirmed it, saying that he had a meeting with them talking about how they had now have a plan at the plate and that they didn't have a plan at the plate, really, prior to this. And so, first of all, with that, I mean, what the hell has been going on the last few years with Kevin Long, Rob Thompson? If that's the case, and there was never a plan going into these at-bats, like, what are we doing there? That seems a little ridiculous. Hard to believe, but, I mean, this meeting and these comments have been confirmed by multiple players. So Bryce has been the catalyst of that ever since that meeting. I mean, the run he is on right now, a 23-game on-base streak, which is unreal. Like, he's, I think, who's the one of recent memory? I feel like Odubel had like a 36-game one. Obviously, Utley had the 35-game streak back when he was playing. And he had the hitting streak, not just the on-base streak. But Odubel had a super long streak there. And he's at 23 games, which is pretty significant. And got a 529 OBP since the Arise trade. So clearly, he trusts the guy behind him a little bit more, which is good to see. And it just is good that he is kind of transforming himself into this type of player where still incredibly effective, and pitchers obviously fear him. And we've known all the stats over the years of him getting the least amount of pitches in the strike zone among like all major league players. Now he's finally taking advantage of that and letting the guys behind him kind of cash in. So Arise has done a nice job of doing that. It is so funny with Arise because the eye test with him would never indicate to you that, you know, he's a high-level hitter or one of these guys who hits over 300 every year because, I mean, some of these, like, his bat speed is startlingly low. And you just don't feel like he has these great swings all the time, but he fouls so many pitches off and eventually just finds a way to dunk these pitches in the shallow left or shallow right. And you look up at the, you know, box score over the last week or so, and it's 2-for-4, 3-for-5 every night, essentially. So he's doing his job, and with Bryce getting on base, he hit a home run last night to knock Bryce in after a walk. So he's doing his job in the cleanup spot. You don't need him to be a home run hitter. You need him to be a guy who gets Bryce over, gets base hits to set up Boehm and Stott there, because honestly, it feels like this lineup has sort of started with the 3 and 4 hitters as of late, with Trey, you know, I think Trey, one positive with him that I want to mention is he has been much better in the field. He's been using Bryce Stott's glove, which is, you know, maybe rubbing some of his magic off on him, but just been, I think, so-so at the plate. Kind of the same thing with Schwarber. I mean, OPS in the leadoff spot hasn't been, you know, exactly great this year. Definitely has been, I would say, better down in the lineup over the past couple of seasons, but it feels like the 3 and 4 and Harper and Arise are sort of setting the tone for this lineup right now. But I do expect Schwarber to come out of it. It feels like he was starting to come out of it in that Iowa game and a little bit during that series there, but didn't have the best series up in Citizens Bank Park this past week. So expect him to get better. But one guy who has just been unbelievable, and we talked about it last week, but he has just kept it up, is Bryson Stott. And good for Bryson Stott, because he is somebody where his positional versatility and his defense really opens up a lot of interesting possibilities for this team now and down the road if he can be a solid major league hitter. And he's been more than that so far. I mean, I think he's the best WAR among position players behind PCA since the All-Star break, which, I mean, PCA is probably going to end up winning the MVP there for the Cubs, who has just been unbelievable as of late. But Bryson Stott's right behind him. So what he's been able to do on both sides of the ball is just really, really great. And for somebody who, you know, might be, you know, up for a contract extension this upcoming year, I think if they can get that done, it opens up a lot of interesting possibilities for you in free agency. We know that Alec Boehm is probably gone. I will say Alec Boehm has had a really good week. I am not buying it personally because I have been bit by the Alec Boehm believer, bug before, where he goes on these runs and looks like he's finally pulling the baseball and hitting with some power and going gap to gap, which is what you want to see. But at the same time, I just have seen that too often. And in the postseason, do I trust him to come up in a big spot and produce for them at this point? Until I see it, probably not. So good for Alec Boehm that he's hitting the ball well, and it's really helped out this lineup in terms of offense over the past week or so. And, I mean, they have been scoring at a really, really good clip. So he's been a big part of that. But I also think that Stott's production, I think, is a little more reasonable to suggest that he could sustain it throughout maybe next year and through the rest of this year, obviously. But I just have been burned by the Alec Boehm thing a couple too many times. So I hope I'm wrong there. And Dave Dombrowski, please don't extend him. I am still ready to move on from Alec Boehm, but I think he has done a really good job lately at the plate. But with the Bryson Stott thing, I just think him being able to play a great third base, a great shortstop, and a great second base, and hey, you could probably stick him in the outfield too if you wanted to, and he would find a way to be above average in that regard. I think it opens up some really, really interesting free agent and trade possibilities for you in the offseason if you wanted to explore some avenues to make this lineup just a little better and bring in a right-handed hitter to replace Alec Boehm once he leaves for free agency. And then Stott could obviously play third. So really good stuff from Bryson Stott. You just hope he keeps it up. And it has been really, really a treat to watch. Even in the games where, maybe I know his hit streak got broken up last night, but had some really, really good defensive plays at third in this series and just looked so natural over there. So awesome stuff from Bryson Stott. And even one guy I have to shout out before I go to the pitching staff is Justin Crawford, I think. And he's been somebody I've been pretty critical of, I think, over the course of the year in terms of he's a speed guy, but his speed doesn't feel game changing, if that makes sense. I think it might just be because he's pretty slow out of the batter's box and he doesn't get the best break to first base after he hits the baseball just because his swing is so long and wonky. But what he's been able to do over the past month and a half has been really good. And he's got his average above 270. And I thought coming into the year, if he was a 270, 280 hitter and was effective on the base paths, and I do think the defense is getting better. I still don't think it's great. I think Derek Hill is probably a better center fielder still. You could debate Marsh. But I think what he's been able to do at the plate has been a really good sign over the last couple of months. And for somebody who's going to be the nine-hole hitter for you, game in and game out, for him to just be a pesky hitter and to play that role against right-handed pitching when you have Derek Hill coming in against lefties, I think that's all you really need from him. Is he ever going to become a star? I would bet against it. I don't think he will ever become a star. But can he become a really good, solid major league player for a good MLB team? Yeah, and we're seeing that right now. So good stuff from Justin Crawford. He's done a great job of turning the lineup over and has been pretty productive out of that nine spot. So hopefully he can keep that up.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
But another guy who you're really hoping can keep the production up in terms of the starting pitching has been Aaron Nola. I mean, First of all, you have to feel really, really happy for Aaron Nola, because there are a lot of guys where once they get paid, I think to myself, all right, like they've gotten paid. Like, I shouldn't feel that sorry for them. They make a lot of money, and if they don't perform well, then you're allowed to be upset with them. And I get anybody who has been annoyed by the whole Aaron Nola experience. Trust me, I have been right there with you, and it is frustrating. It was frustrating to watch him get shelled night in and night out. But he always seemed like a guy who, A, really liked to be here. Like, people forget that the Braves offered him a contract first in his free agent year, and he basically took less money per year to stay here, which I appreciated. Now, in the long run, was that, you know, good for the Phillies? Well, that is a debate. But I think, personally, he liked it here, and he wanted to stay here, which I always respected. And he's always been somebody that's been really respected in the clubhouse and has been just a, I think, good guy overall in the community. He's done a ton with Phil Abundance, and I know that doesn't translate to what he does on the baseball field, but I think that he's just been a Philly that's been easy to root for, and I'm so happy that he's turned it around this season and has been able to contribute over the past month and been really, really good. Like, I think he's finally kind of not mastered the art, but has just honed in on pitching backwards really effectively, where he's throwing the knuckle curve a ton. Last night, or on Wednesday night, he had a 66% whiff rate on that pitch, which is crazy. And it was, you know, really moving well down in the zone. That's been the key for everything with him, pretty much going back to the beginning of his career in 2018 when he had that unbelievable season. When Nola keeps the ball down in the zone and he's able to locate the fastball, you know, obviously play the knuckle curve off of that and mix in the changeup, which I thought he did a really good job of on Wednesday night. Like, he's really effective, and it doesn't matter if he's throwing 90 or 94 on the fastball. I just think that when he is able to hone in on that and is able to stay down, there were barely any mistakes up over the last two or three starts that cost him. And I know he had a couple home runs against them in those starts, but I thought those weren't really mistakes. Those were just, you know, decent pitches that got hit. And when you throw 90 to 91 and you're not down in the zone, like I said, that stuff's going to happen. But just really, really impressive from Aaron Nola. And it's just, I'm happy for him. I'm glad to see that he's pitching well, because it did feel like he was down on himself the past couple of years, especially with the injury last year, because we all know that how healthy he's been throughout his career and has always taken the ball every fifth day. And they showed a stat on the broadcast the other night. Since 2019, he's pitched like the most innings in baseball among any pitcher, which is crazy. Zach Wheeler's right there too. But just really happy for Aaron Nola, because, hey, if he can contribute to this pitching staff, like, come postseason time, that's going to be really key, especially considering, you know, two of their horses right now are kind of struggling, which I'll get to in a second. But I want to get to one more positive thing before I get to Zach Wheeler and I get to Christopher Sanchez, and that's Jesus Luzardo. Jesus Luzardo, since May 1st, has been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. Like, pretty brutal April, but ever since May 1, 9-2 with 144 strikeouts in 19 appearances. And I think he's got a 2-something ERA in that span too. Forgot to write that down. But he's been really, really good. And I think just obviously the sweeper has become one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he's really sort of perfected that. And him and Caleb over the past couple of seasons have really gotten together and honed in on making that one of the premier pitchers in the sport. Similar to Sanchez's changeup, like, earlier in the year, he is getting a ton of swing and miss on that, a ton of strikeouts on it, which is cool to see. But even his changeup, I think, when you pair it with the sinker, like, really, really effective pitch. And it doesn't matter right now, lefties, righties, he is just nasty. And the stuff's got insane break. He's able to sustain it for multiple, and he's not having that blow-up inning that I felt like he had earlier in the season, where I felt like early in the year, even into May, like early June, he would either have a start where he gives up one run or he gives up six runs, and there was zero in between, where he has that inning where he gives up a crooked number. But now he's grown some stones. It feels like he's finally starting to just eliminate that big inning there, and he has become really, really, really good for this team. And I got to tell you, like, if my life was on the line and they were all fully rested and they had to pitch one guy tomorrow, Game 7 of the World Series, if it was tomorrow, I'm choosing Jesus Luzardo. Like, he has been that good, and I think the other two guys have been struggling a little bit. So I want to get to them now, because Zach Wheeler throws the other night and looks really good, I think, through four innings. Like, the velocity was back up a little bit. I think the previous couple of starts, it had been down like 92, 93, and you start to worry, obviously, with the surgery that he had last season and just him being able to sustain the early success and velocity that he had earlier in the year and just maybe getting some dead arm there because he wasn't able to ramp up in spring training, obviously. So there was some concern, but I thought looked really good through four innings, but just kind of fell off a cliff after that fourth inning. And it's a little concerning for me because I feel like during this like four or five game stretch where he's really struggled, like the St. Louis game, you noticed it, and in the starts before as well. But it's either the command or the velocity. Like the velocity I felt was there in his last start, but the command as the game went on just got worse and worse. And he's getting like three or four walks, which you never see out of Zach Wheeler. And you could just tell that he's frustrated and that it just doesn't feel like a great situation right now with Zach Wheeler. Like I wish they could just kind of phantom IL him for, you know, 15 days and just give him a breather. Even just skipping a start, I think, would help. Not that I think he's, you know, his arm is cooked for the season. I just think he's going through a little bit of a dead arm period and he probably just needs some rest. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's what happened with him, you know, last year or 2 years ago, where they gave him that break in August and he was able to go on and pitch really well in the postseason. So I have a similar concern maybe with Sanchez, probably less so because I think he's still, you know, really effective. I think his command has just been a little shaky. Like the velocity was down for a start or two, but I thought at least his command was, you know, a little better in those starts where it's similar to Wheeler. It's either one or the other, but at the same time, his changeup is so good. He just gets so many swings and misses on it out of the zone where sometimes you can't even tell if the command is bad or if he's just, you know, missing intentionally or just going below the zone intentionally. So those two guys, I think, probably could use a break, but if I had to give it to one, it would be Wheeler. And hey, they might get it because the Phillies did just sign Nestor Cortes off of the street where he had surgery a couple years ago. And he's back now throwing, you know, was throwing in front of a bunch of teams. The Phillies signed him to a major league contract, which I do find pretty interesting, not a minor league deal. So he is going to be up here. He's essentially the Walker Buehler of this year where, you know, now it's sort of you don't know what he's got. Maybe he's cooked. But, again, if it can get Wheeler off of his feet for a couple weeks and you have Nestor Cortes throw a couple starts for you, that's a pretty ideal situation to be in. And, hey, maybe if he looks good, he has a bullpen role come postseason time. So, interesting signing, you know, major league, so he's going to be up here. We will see what Nestor Cortes is able to bring there. Don't have much to tell you. I frankly haven't seen him, I feel like, since the Freddie Freeman walk-off Grand Slam in the World Series. I know it was with the Padres before that, but obviously not a great lasting image there for Nestor Cortes. And one last thing before I get to the bullpen here is I still think it's really encouraging stuff we're seeing from Andrew Painter. That Twins first inning was rough in the first inning. No command, has a foul ball smashed, and then the next pitch, they throw the exact same curveball in the middle of the zone. It gets absolutely pummeled for a grand slam, but then really settles down after that. Early season Andrew Painter, I don't think he settles down. They probably pull him out of that game after three innings. Like, he is able to give them some length in that game, keep the score what it is. Yeah, ends up giving up five runs, I think, in five or six innings. And then they come back and they end up winning that game. So I thought he did his job, and it was really encouraging to see that mental toughness from Andrew Painter after what we saw early on in the season. And the stuff models, like, they really like how he's throwing the baseball right now. So I am definitely still very in on the Andrew Painter renaissance this year. So we will be monitoring that situation, of course. So a couple of bullpen notes before I get to the weekend preview against the Cardinals, and that is Duran, like, the workload has been nuts, and I get they're in a playoff race, and I understand that you have to make the playoffs before you can start talking about the playoffs, which, again, trust me, I understand that, and I appreciate Don Mattingly's aggressiveness with him, but the workload's been insane, and it's just something that worries me a little bit coming in, and they finally got him a rest night, I think, on Tuesday, and it was like Sunday he pitched, he threw like almost 30 pitches, and then the next day he throws 20, and just feels like a ton of work for Joan Duran this year, and for somebody who, again, after next year is a free agent, I just wonder, you know, how much his arm can really take. And he's a guy who loves taking the ball every day. That's what you'd like to see. And, of course, when you have a bullpen that's as, you know, lacking of horses as this one is, you need him to pitch those ninth innings for you, which, again, they need right now because they have to make the postseason. But I just hope it doesn't come back to bite them in the rear end later on. So always looking at that. But really like what I've seen from Alex McFarland. I know he's given up some runs in games, but the stuff looks good. Like the fastball has a ton of movement on it. I think that once they can get command down with him, he's obviously a work in progress. He's going to be a really effective reliever for him. So I like what I'm seeing from Alex McFarland. I hope that they give him some more high leverage opportunities, because I think that I'm just interested to see how he handles it mentally. And, speaking of that, obviously, you never know what you're going to get from Kirk Ring. It feels like on a night in, night out basis. He makes the error the other night, allows a run. They end up winning that game still. But you just wonder, in a postseason setting, does McFarland have the sort of temperament that Orion Kirkring doesn't, and could he be an effective righty out of the pen for them? So it's something to watch for sure. Like, Bolin's had a couple of outings over the past week or so. Again, they've won the game, so it hasn't really come back to bite them, but I think he'll be fine. But you wonder if he could be the third righty out of the pen if he hops Orion Kirkring in that pecking order. So definitely an interesting thing to keep an eye on there. And I think also, last thing, Brooks Raley should be the number one lefty in the pen at this point. I don't think it's really up for debate. I think Mesa has given them a lot of innings this year, obviously. It feels like he's pitched a ton, but between him and Alvarado, we can't locate for what. I think that Raley has definitely become the number one lefty option out of the bullpen. And hey, hopefully Nestor Cortez can be an option for them there later on. But I would definitely say Brooks Raley at this point would be the number one lefty option if I were the manager. So with that, let's get to the weekend preview as Phils look to, keep going on this win streak and hopefully push it up to 9 even as the Cardinals come to town after the Cardinals kind of embarrassed them a couple of weeks ago, and that was during this whole, horrific run before the winning streak. So hopefully, and they're basically facing all three of the same pitchers, or they are facing all three of the same pitchers. So some familiarity there, and they start Friday with Luzardo looking to keep his great run up against Hunter Dobbins, went 5 innings, 1 run against them a couple of weeks ago. Then you've got Saturday, Andrew Painter versus Andre Pallante, who went 6 scoreless on them and has been pretty good for the Cardinals actually this year. And then Sunday, you've got Sanchi versus Kyle Leahy, who's having a good year as well and pitched well against the Phillies in St. Louis a couple of weeks back. So with that, that'll do it for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And yeah. Have a great weekend, and for Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you. Have a good one, everyone.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that?
It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!